All right, good morning. I'm glad to be in the Lord's house, glad to come amongst His people and worship Him. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank You for the word You've given me today, Lord. I thank You for Your blessing on us, Lord, to have this place to come into and worship You, Lord. I do pray that as I go through this message, Lord, that it would be a help to Your people, Lord. It would lift them up and help them to stand, Lord, in Your word. And I do pray, Lord, that if there's someone here who's not saved this morning, that they would see Your will for them in this message is for them to come to You, Lord, in salvation. I do pray, Lord, that if there's a person here that is saved but is wondering, Lord, that they would come back and that they would stand and have a firm foundation in that salvation that You've given them, Lord, and that they would not depart from Your way, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that You would help us all, every one of us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, our text this morning will be Job chapter 23, Job 23. We'll take a look at the entire chapter here. Now, to lay a background for this chapter, what we'll find in this chapter, in chapter 22, Eliphaz, one of Job's so-called friends, has accused Job of sins and saying that he needs to come to the Lord in repentance, is what we have in Job 22. And then, picking it up in Job 23, and verse 1, we'll begin there. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." Now, reading that passage there, Job seems to be pretty down. In fact, he says in verse 2, "Even to this day my complaint is bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning." He says, although I might be complaining, it seems that what I have to bear is pretty heavy, is very heavy, even heavier than what I'm saying. He reasons that this is because of the heavy affliction he's suffering. He's suffering quite a bit. If you've ever read through Job, he's gone through more than I believe anyone here will probably ever have to go through. So he is, I won't say rightfully so, bitter, but he has reason to be bitter. So we see that he's answering Eliphaz in verse 2. I have reason to be in this attitude. But he goes on, he elaborates. He says, "Where can I find God?" He wants to know where God is so that he might bring his case before him in verse 3 and 4. We see in verse 4, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Why is this being done to me, God? In verse 5, he wants an answer. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. But even though these hard things are falling on Job, and they are hard for him to bear, very hard, I cannot imagine having all of those things in life and the children that he had, all the blessings the Lord had given him to be taken away one after the other. It's kind of like a domino effect. You have the line of dominoes lined up, and one falls over, the next one, the next one, the next one, until they all fall over. Everything Job had was taken from him. But in verse 6, will he plead against me with his great power? No. Job is sure that God will not lean heavily on him more than he is able to bear, but that he will lift him up and strengthen him and deliver him. In verse 7 and the end of 6, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. In verse 8, Job is looking for God, but cannot find him. Behold, I go forward. Sometimes it seems in our life we're trying to go forward. We're trying to walk in God's way. It doesn't seem like God's there. So we look to the left and to the right and behind us. We don't see him. He hideth, in verse 9, in the end of verse 9, he hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Why would God do that? Job answers that question later on, but he is in one mind. God has a plan. There's a reason you can't see him at this time. And it may be God's plan that you can't see him. It may be your own fault that you can't see him. We'll not get into that, but there are many reasons you might not be able to see him. But you can see him working around you. In verse 9, on the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. You can see his working. You can see his moving around you. But for some reason, you can't find him. So Job's in a hard place right here. He's in a real bad spot. I've never been in such a bad spot as that. There have been perhaps a day or two go by where I was in a quandary. I didn't know what was going on. But never an extended period like Job has to go through here. And then, let's see, let's move on here to verse 10. Through all the affliction, Job knows he's going to come out on the other side a better man. Job is aware of how God works. He's aware that God means things for good to him. In verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God's laid out that way. And as long as we're walking in it as Job does, we're going to come out the other side distilled down to a better person. All that dross is going to be gone, and all the things that are unnecessary in our life will be knocked off of us. And then 11, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. That's why Job can say when he comes out the other side, he's going to be better, because he's walked in God's way. His foot hath held his steps. He's stayed in God's way. He's not departed. His footsteps haven't gone to the right or the left. He hasn't turned from God's way. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. He stayed in God's word. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The food that he needed just to keep going. He's regarded God's word higher than that. And he knows the importance of God's word. He knows the importance of following those commandments. But he is in one mind. And who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. He knows that God has a plan. He knows that God is working. And he knows that there's nothing that man can do to turn God's hand once God has that plan set in motion. For he, in verse 14, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. But Job, having laid all that out, he's still worried. In verse 15, therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. Job is afraid of God's presence in his life. He's afraid of God's plan in his life. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. So he's not only afraid, but he's troubled. His heart is soft. It's turned soft on him, and he's quaking. He's not sure of what's coming. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. Now that's quite a thing that he says right there. He says that I'm afraid because I didn't die, because the Lord did not keep me from this. He did not, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. I didn't want to see this. I would rather not have seen this. I would rather have died than go through all of the things that I've gone through. So quite a heavy thing right there. But through all this, if you're familiar with the story of Job, you know that he did not slip. Go back to verse 11 there. My foot hath held his steps. He did not slip. He did not turn from the path. And that's the message today that I would like to bring, is slip not. It's a very interesting word study to do in the Lord's word, is slip and slip not. And just looking at the word slip, how it's mentioned, it has a theme in God's word. If you do word studies in the Lord's word, if they're not mentioned very much, sometimes you can pick up a theme where they're used and what context they're used. Through the entire Bible, words will have a theme. Interesting. In some cases, they'll depart from it. But overall, there's a theme. Slip not. And the theme on that particular word, slip, is being caused to slip by people being against you, enemies being against you, hard times coming against you, and slipping. That's the theme of that word. It's generally mentioned in that context. Slipping because of you going through hard times caused by others, or just hard times in general. So that's the idea of today's message, is slip not. Let's go to Psalms in chapter 17. Psalms in chapter 17. And it's mentioned in the memory verses here. Why would a person put on the armor of God? So that they don't slip, so that they can walk as a successful Christian. In Psalm 17, it is mentioned, the word slip is mentioned once in verse 5. We'll read verse 5. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Now we can see here that this is a prayer of David. This particular Psalm 17 is a prayer of David. He's in a bad spot right here. Here in verse 1, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. That sounds very similar to what Job is saying. Because I walk in your paths, Lord, and I abide by your commandments, I don't transgress. I know that I'm in the right. Hear the right, he says. Let's read on. Let's just read out the rest of the chapter. In verse 6, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint them, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. So David here, he fully understands that these wicked men in his life, some of them are from the Lord. In verse 13, arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. The Lord uses the wicked man to judge us. On occasion, he will use them as a tool. So David is also going through a hard time here, but he knows who to call on. He knows who is going to hold up his going in the Lord's path, that his footsteps slip not, in verse 5. He knows that his walk depends completely on the Lord. And why is that? Well, we've laid a foundation here with Job. We've looked at Job, how he walked. We've looked at David, how he walked. Let's apply this to our lives here. Let's see. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We ought to pay attention to the things that we've heard, the things that we know from the Bible, the things that we have been taught, the things that we are learning, that we're memorizing in our scriptures, monthly memorization. And we should know why the things are happening to us. We should know how to handle them, and we should not slip. If, and that's a big if we're walking in God's way, if we're allowing God to work in our lives. So we see that in particular times of vulnerability, it's easy to slip. And Job was vulnerable. Job was very vulnerable at that point in his life. Everyone seemed to be against him at that point in his life. If we're going through rough terrain, if we're going through difficult times, dark times, when we can't see what's going on around us in each and every one of our lives, I know that we're going to go through those times. We might not be right now, but in the past you might have. There might be a thing that you wanted so bad, but the Lord wouldn't allow that to happen in your life. There were circumstances that came into play that did not make that happen. In fact, they went the opposite direction. And that's a difficult time. That's a dark time, a time that we can't understand. Let's go to Psalm 139 and verse 12. Psalm 139, 12. You won't be able to understand a lot of the trying times as you're going through them. You'll be able to see on the other side why things happened. But as you're going through them, there won't be an explanation. You'll be looking for God, and You'll be looking for that answer from God, rather, and it's not going to come until you get through to the other side. Psalm 139 and verse 12. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So we don't need to worry that the Lord doesn't know what's going on. He's fully aware of every aspect of our life, and he knows what is happening. He knows what lies ahead. Nothing is hid from him. He has a plan for our lives, just as Job tells us. But when we become weak and sick, as Job did, that's when it's going to be easy to slip if we don't have that firm foundation, if we're not putting our armor on every day, if we don't do those things, it's going to become easy to be picked off. Don't allow the things of life to distract you, what you're going through, from that daily walk, from that praying, from getting in God's word and knowing God's word. I was watching a YouTube video on a trucker in Burma, the mountains of Burma, the roads in Burma. You could call them roads, mud trails in Burma. That trucker started off happy on that particular day. And he says, you have to be happy because things will happen. But as the day went on, he lost that smile and he stopped laughing. As you watch the video, as it carried on, he became tired and he became careworn. And he was just completely exhausted. And he wasn't laughing anymore. Because things in life had pulled him down. And that's exactly what will happen to every one of us. Not a maybe, but it will happen to us. Things will pull us down. We might start off being happy and even overjoyed and on the mountaintop. But as the days go by, we're going to come down. When the storms come our way, you might be going through, I'm sure someone here is going through a storm right now. There's going to be something happen that's going to be even worse than what you've been going through, quite possibly. And the only way you'll be able to stand is if you have a firm foundation, if your life is based on the Word of God. And that it may seem like the message I'm preaching is very, very basic, and every Christian knows this, and that's true. Every Christian should know this, and it is very basic. But we all need to be reminded of these things, because if we're not, we're going to slip. We will slip if we're not careful of what we're going through. And then the second point here, we can slip in the Christian life. It's important that we keep up. It's been mentioned already in this message, and Brother Seeley mentioned it, and in the memory verse even. We need to keep up our Christian life. We need to keep reading our Bible. Let's go to Psalm 119, 105. Everyone knows this verse. Psalm 119, 105. But all too often, somehow we're not reading the Word, so that lamp's not shining on our feet. And the light isn't there because we're not in God's Word. The Word, thy Word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we'll stay in God's Word, that's one of the difficult things for me, especially right now. As Robert's a new little baby, he gets up in the morning, and he doesn't, when he wakes up, he's a morning person. He wants to visit. He wants to be in Daddy's arms. He doesn't want to be set down. It's hard for me to read my Bible, holding Robert in my arms and playing with him, you know, and talking with him and having a good time with him. And that's a good thing, visiting with my son. But I don't need to neglect reading my Bible and also praying. When I wake up in the morning, that is the most important prayer time to me. Being a morning person, I get up in the morning, I'm ready to get going, and I like to get into God's Word, and I like to pray. And you know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, another verse we all should know: pray without ceasing. And those are very important key elements of a Christian life that we cannot let slip, or we will slip in our walk. And thirdly, church attendance. Well, that's a big one right there. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We don't need to be distracted by things of the world and turned aside from church attendance. We need to be come together in corporate worship and build each other up. It's very, very, very important, and especially in today's world, because you're not going to get any building up, not in a Christian manner, out in the world. No way. And then, let's see here. Fourth. Giving. Oh. Now, how would that be part of a stable Christian walk? Well, let's go to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. And I'm going to be honest with you here. This is not my message, so you can't blame this part on me. But Malachi chapter 4 and verse 10. But it is very important, as you see in this passage of Scripture. You might say that this is written to the Jews, but this we can take and apply to every Christian's life. Some things you can do that with. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. If you want God's blessing in your life, tithe. At the very least, tithe. And bring your offerings as well. I mean, if the Lord's house is going to be effective in reaching those around us, if it's going to be a tool to reach others in the world, not just in humanitarian help, but reaching them with the gospel, there has to be financial support coming in here to support the pastor, to support missionaries, to support the various works of this church, the various outreaches it has. There has to be that financial support coming in. And that's part of a basic Christian life, is that giving. And if you read that chapter, Malachi 3 there, you'll see that. Did I say Malachi 4:10? I meant 3:10. I apologize. My notes are bad here. It's very important that we pay attention to our giving. And then our witnessing, just as some of y'all did yesterday. Y'all were out witnessing one-on-one with folk, and that's very important. We're called to be the salt in Matthew 5 and verse 13. We are the salt of the earth. If we're not doing our job, how is the world going to hear? And I do very much appreciate those that came out, and I do also appreciate those that live a Christian life so that others might see. If you're witnessing to others, then you obviously also have that thing that's called lifestyle evangelism. Your very lifestyle is reaching others for Christ. The way you live, your manner of living, is bringing others to Christ. But that only comes if you're a vocal witness for Christ. And that's a very important thing. And then the family altar. That again was mentioned by Brother Seeley already this morning. I feel very much like I'm preaching to the choir with this message. He mentioned that he sung that song with his children in their family time that they went to the Lord in. In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now that is such a key thing to a Christian life, because that will help your children not to have to go through some of the trials that you go through if you were saved at a later time in life. And it can also help them not to go through some of the things that you go through, because you can train them to simply avoid those things. Whether you got saved later on in life, you can see where you messed up in your life and you went to the right or to the left. Perhaps you were looking for God. It doesn't matter. If you departed from God, recognize that and make sure your children know not to do those same things. And that's how it is done in the family altar time, and as you train your children throughout the days that you're around them, your influence on them. And what's the important thing that we're trying to get at this morning? It's slip not. That's what we're trying to do, is not slip, and also to train our children not to do that. And then moving on, the results of slipping. We see the results of slipping all the time around us. We see Christians who have slipped. And I think of many, many Christians that I know that are not living a Christian life anymore because they slipped up. And what happens when they slip? They fall. They fall down in the mud and the things of this world. It drags them down and it seeks to engulf them and make them like every other lost person. But if a saved person is standing, they don't have to live like a lost person. And again, what happens when we slip? We fall and we get hurt. That I've seen that as well. Christians who fall, they get hurt and they blame the church, they blame other Christians, they blame God. Job didn't blame God. When he fell, he did not blame God for what was going on. He did want an answer, but he did not blame God. And we bring others down when we slip. When we fall, we get hurt, we can bring others down with us. Let's go to John 21 and verse 3. John 21 and verse 3. It's so important that we do our utmost not to fall, because everyone is watching us, not just the lost and not just our children, but other saved brothers and sisters are watching us, and we can bring them down as well. John 21 and verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. They went with Peter because he was an influential person amongst them. He had the biggest mouth, I guess you could say. He was someone that they followed. And that's exactly what will happen when we slip and fall. We're going to bring others with us back to the world. They're going to follow us out of church, back to the world in some cases. Or perhaps they'll just catch a spirit of bitterness. Stay in church, but be bitter and be not so useful to the Lord. And they'll lose progress because of us. And we ourselves will lose progress, a lot of progress. If we fall and become mired in the world, we're going to lose progress. We're going to hurt our testimony to not only the saved folk around us, but the lost world. We won't be as effective of a witness. And this is something that we're trying not to do here this morning, is slip not. We're trying not to slip. We see the results here. Let's go to the protection. How not to slip? Protection. Psalms 18 and verse 36. Psalm 18, 36. In Psalm 18 and verse 36, again, a mention of slipping. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet do not slip. The Lord enlarges our steps under us, that our feet do not slip. He watches out for us. He takes care of us. And again, if you look in the context there, verse 37, I have pursued mine enemies. It's talking in the context of enemies, again, who are causing trouble. So we don't need to slip. We are protected by the Lord. Without the Lord, we'll slip in Psalm 94:18. Psalm 94:18. We can cry out to God when we feel that we're slipping. When our feet are sliding out from under us, we're close to falling off the edge. It's really bad. We can say, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. We can cry unto God and ask for mercy from him, because there's many reasons why we can slip. And a lot of those reasons are self-inflicted. We bring things upon ourselves. Be merciful to me, God. I know I've been stupid, and I've done things that I shouldn't do. But have mercy on me, Lord, that I slip not. The Lord will protect us. God's mercy will hold us up. Pay attention to the signs that God puts in your way. Pay attention to the message that God puts in your way, whether that be a physical message from a preacher or in your daily Bible reading or something you hear on the radio, something another Christian brother says, even something you might see in nature, how the Lord speaks directly to you through something you might see. He puts something on your mind. And we need to be very attentive to that, because it gets easier and easier to slip when the message has no effect. If we push the message aside, it gets easier to pay no attention to it, and we'll slip. We will slip if we do that. So be cautious. And what point are we on now? We're on protection to not slip. Protection from slipping. In Ephesians 5:15. Ephesians 5:15. I'm sure we all remember when we were children and there was a log across the stream. And if there's a bunch of children there, there's always that guy who's first to go across. And some might consider him to be a bit foolish. The careful ones are always the last ones to go across. And they might get a stick so that they can push it down into the river so they don't slip off. But that's very important that we be cautious. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And sometimes the kids who really overthink things find another way around completely. So that's what we ought to be doing, is walking circumspectly. Be incredibly careful in your daily walk. Because it is of utmost importance to do that so that we don't slip. That's the idea of the message today, is slip not. I'm continuously hammering on that, because that's what the Lord put on my heart, is that it needs to be hammered on right now. Psalm chapter 15. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 15. We'll be wrapping up here shortly. Psalm 15 and verse 1. Again, this is a psalm of David. David knew about slipping. Psalm chapter 15 and verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. If we're following what David lays out here for us in these verses, we won't be moved, we won't slip. And then in 2 Peter 1, and verse 5. This passage here just bears out what I've been saying this morning. And beside this, giving all diligence, pay attention, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. If you're adding these things to your life, if you're walking in God's way, if you have these things, you're not blind. You can see. You're producing for the Lord. In verse 8, I see diligence mentioned here twice. In verse 5 and verse 10. If you're working and you're doing your very best. And then, of course, make your calling and election sure. That's not talking about working to be saved. That's talking about working after you're saved. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. If you're growing in the Lord, if you're reading your Bible, you're not going to fall. That's insurance against falling. And in verse 5, get a firm foundation. That's the whole point of this message. Job had that firm foundation. If we have that firm foundation, we're not going to slip. Don't slip. Please don't slip. Now, we can know why we believe what we believe if we'll get in God's Word, and if you'll read your King James Bible, and if you'll walk with God day by day, you can have that firm foundation. One last portion of Scripture, Proverbs 24, verse 16. Proverbs 24, 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. A just man, though he might fall, he's going to get back up. He's going to go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has that foundation that he's built his life on. He knows the Word of God, and he knows what to do. Even though he fell, he's going to get back up. He's going to get out of that mire of the world, and he's going to get back on the path that God has put before him, and he's going to walk. Even though he cannot see much more than a step or two ahead, he's going to walk, and he's going to grow in faith, and he's going to depend on God's mercy and grace in his life, and he's going to walk in that way. So in conclusion, we can see this morning that Job was an example to go through a hard time. He didn't forsake God's way, and he didn't bring anyone down from serving God. He was protected from slipping by having a firm foundation. In David, we see a man that can make mistakes and slip and fall, but he gets back up. He gets back up and he serves the Lord. The message this morning is slip not. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the ability to walk that you've given to all of us, Lord. It's not just a thing that the preacher can have. It's not just a thing that a super spiritual person can have. It's a thing that all of us can have. We all should be super spiritual, Lord. We all should get in your word, Lord. We all should strive to be better Christians. We all should want to slip not. We should desire to continue to grow in you, Lord, so that we don't slip, so that we don't fall, so that we don't drag people around us down. We want to build other people up, Lord. That should be our Christian desire, is to be better in our Christian walk so that we can be a help to those around us, so that we can point others to you, Lord, so that your gospel can be proclaimed, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that would continue to be the goal of this church, Lord, that they would continue to grow in you, Lord, continue to prosper in you. And I thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.